According to Zillow, the average price to buy a house in Ashland, Oregon is $414,000 plus. That's more than $100,000 above the average of what homes sold for across Oregon in the last year. So when your city has affordability issues, what do? You consider new wrinkles like cottage housing, which the city council in Ashland will take up next month. And you can guess that means smaller houses, but let's get fuller context. Two guests in the studio from the Planning Commission, Roger Pierce, who is the chair of the commission. Roger, thank you for joining us today.
Just pleasure.
And Brandon Goldman is an Ashland City planner from the staff. So thank you for joining us as well, Brandon.
Thank you for having us.
So let's talk about where we're coming from here. This is sort of an ongoing issue in Ashland. And you don't have to read too far on social media to hear that people are getting their rents raised fairly regularly as well. So, I mean, Ashland's getting a place where it's really tough for a person who makes an average or below average wage to have a place to live.
Yeah, it is. Affordability is a big problem in Ashland, and the city's elected to try to address that by infill housing. And a big part of that is going to be encouraging smaller units, and that's one of the things the cottage housing ordinance does. If you have an oversized lot, for example, a 7,500 square foot lot, instead of doing one large single family house, you could develop three small cottages. They're not affordable in the sense that they're income restricted, that they're required to be sold to people of a certain income, but they're more affordable than larger houses simply because they're smaller.
I'm glad you mentioned infill, and I want Brandon Goldman to detail that for us just a little bit, because it's sort of an interesting concept for towns that are already developed, thinking about new ways to sort of redevelop.
Sure. Well, as you go around Ashland, you may see a lot of homes on larger lots. And so what infill entails is looking at those larger lots and seeing if there's opportunities to either partition them to create another lot. But on lots that may be too small to partition but are oversized for the zone, the cottage housing ordinance might be an opportunity to add a couple small units on that property. And by small, we mean units about 800 square feet in size. And so just, again, as Roger mentioned, by merit of their size, they'll have a lower price tag than a typical 2,000 square foot house that is otherwise being developed in the city.
Now, Ashland does already allow things like accessory dwelling units, right? Like you can convert a garage into another housing unit?
Yeah. A real distinction between a cottage housing development and an accessory residential unit is an accessory residential unit is a part of that puzzle, having more housing options for Ashland residents. But that's a rental house on the back of a property. The cottage housing ordinance is set up so that you could have multiple ownership units on a property as well. And so it is really trying to find housing for a broad range of households in Ashland, those that are seeking for ownership opportunities but can't afford the $400,000 plus house that you mentioned, could afford potentially a 500 or an 800 square foot house.
So when you talk about multiple ownership on one piece of property, we're not talking about necessarily subdividing the properties themselves. We're talking something like a condo setup?
Could be a condominium. It could be rental ownership. It mm-hmm. could be, the code doesn't specify sort of what the ownership, regime has to be. It could be a condominium setup. In some areas of town, with large enough lots, it could be what we call a performance standards option subdivision, which are basically unit lot subdivisions. So the house itself would be on its own small lot, and then there would be a large common area that was owned in common.
We're placing a couple of fences here, and I want to place another one because we've already identified that this is not accessory dwelling units per se, because those tend to be rentals on property that somebody else owns. But these are also not – we're not talking tiny houses. It's not the same thing as cottage housing, right?
Right. Tiny houses tend to be under 500 square feet. The way that industry has grown up is a lot of them are on trailers. Mm-hmm. But, no, this is not tiny houses. This is just – it's a lot like the development you saw in bigger cities in the 20s, early 30s, where, you'd have sort of a cottage apartment housing court of 10 or 12 units around a common open area.
We had the purveyor of the concept of missing middle housing on the exchange a few months ago. I know he spoke at a session in Medford. I wonder if you guys attended that and if that plays any part in – it certainly sounds similar to what you're talking about here.
It's one component, most definitely. I think the missing middle presentation looked at other opportunities. What can you do with larger single-family homes that are currently a 3,000-square-foot house but has one occupant? Is there the potential of dividing that house internally to create additional housing options? So it does fit into that missing middle precisely. It also addresses workforce housing within the city because, as you mentioned, the annual income to afford that $400,000 house would probably be pushing $120,000 a year. And the wages in Ashland really just don't provide for that. But if you can bring down the price of that house to $150,000 or $200,000 a year, that really does open up quite a bit of housing opportunities for people that are otherwise make too much to qualify for low-income housing but can't afford market-rate housing.
Brandon Goldman is Ashland City Planner. Roger Pierce is Chair of the Ashland Planning Commission. We're talking about cottage housing and an ordinance that will come up before the City Council with public hearing on November 7th. You can join the conversation here on The Exchange at 800-838-3760 on the phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Do you live in a smaller place? Would you consider living in a smaller place if something came open like this that made a place that is not currently affordable to you affordable? Let's get your take on this. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. So we're talking not tiny houses and not accessory dwelling units, 800-square-foot houses roughly. Are there other communities that do this already, Roger Pierce?
Yeah, there are some that do it. You know, it tends to be Portland has a cottage housing ordinance. And it's one piece of the puzzle. You know, it's not a magic bullet. It only applies in the single family residential zones. A couple of our single family residential zones. That's still a pretty big piece of town. A lot of that is built out already. So you know, the planners identified a good number of sites that might be available for this kind of development if the market accepts them. But the other pieces of the puzzle, of course, are looking at our multifamily areas, at the commercial and employment zoned areas where housing is allowed, to see if there's things we can do there to, encourage the provision of rental units and housing in those areas.
That's an intriguing phrase, if the market accepts them, though. I mean, so basically you could put the ordinance out there and find that nobody's particularly thrilled enough to want to use it.
That's certainly a possibility. You know, we think that it will accept them because we've seen a number of developments in Ashland recently that are pretty similar to this. They've been unit lot subdivisions, smaller houses on larger lots. It's typically in the multifamily zones, which already allow multifamily housing. So instead of building apartment buildings, people have been developing these. Standalone small unit houses, and they seem to be pretty well accepted by the market. We'd like to see more. I know some of the council members would like to see more apartment buildings as well.
Well, and I was going to ask you if there's any room in the ordinance as it currently stands. I mean, you actually have a draft version of it at this point, don't you?
We do. The draft ordinance went to the Planning Commission, and they're recommending approval of that ordinance to the City Council, which, as you mentioned, we'll review it on November 7th.
It's probably more of a thing that the council would do rather than the Planning Commission, but is there any eye to potential incentives to perhaps goose the market just a little bit up front anyway to make it more attractive for people to go ahead and create cottage housing?
Well, at this point, as Roger mentioned, we do think that it is market feasible. We touch base with architects, developers, builders in drafting the ordinance, and going through that process, in a sense, catered the ordinance to ensure that it would be something that would be accepted by the market. So as far as financial incentives from the city, there's nothing on the table currently.
I guess when you're a real estate market that's hot, you don't have to provide a lot of incentives, do you?
Well, and we're hearing people come into our counter all the time asking what they can do with their property, and an ordinance such as this would give them further options.
Are we looking at vacant property in some of these cases, or is there a chance that some people might elect to take down existing single-family homes and put in several smaller ones in the cottage ordinance?
Answer question, both, all of the above. There is the potential of, if there are vacant properties, they could potentially do larger pocket neighborhoods or cottage housing developments, up to 12 units. In the case of a single-family home on an existing property, there's a value in that. And so the ordinance was established to allow that house to stay as a nonconforming building, even though it's not small, and additional small units to be added.
So let's talk about some of the parameters you've laid out here, like in single family residential zones, SFR, and I know, you know, my wife's on the Planning Commission in Talent, so we could get really stuck in some of the
we could put everybody like back to sleep.
We could. So I got to be careful here. But so single family residential zones, but which ones? I mean, how did you pick out which ones would be eligible for cottage housing?
Well, it's the SF. SF1 5 and SF1 7.5. There's three single family zones, basically, mm-hmm. and it's two of them. And the reason we didn't do in the third one is just there's not that much of it in Ashland, and it's all pretty much completely developed out. So it doesn't apply in the multifamily commercial or manufacturing or employment zones. But it does apply in these single-family zones to oversized lots. You know, you have to have an oversized lot to be able to do it. You know, it's like 2,500 square feet per cottage and at least three cottages. You got to have at least 7,500 square feet in the 5,000 minimum area and at least, 11,000 some in the 7,500 square foot minimum area. And as Brandon was saying, if you have a single-family house in one of these oversized lots, you know, that could potentially be one of your cottages and, you know, put a couple of other smaller units on there. You know, it has to be, you know, the ordinance has been designed with an FAR limit, you know, with a
FAR.
I'm geeking out again.
easy to get lost on these acronyms, yeah.
That's the ratio of your lot size to mm-hmm. the amount of gross square feet you can develop on the lot. So we're trying to limit that so that you don't get what you've seen in some cities, like the city of Seattle did accessory dwelling units that just proved to be too large and were really not a good planning decision. You know, these will be within a floor area ratio or within a bulk or volume that's similar to what's there on the ground already.
Yeah. We're talking about cottage housing in Ashland with Roger Pierce from the Planning Commission and Brandon Goldman, who's a city planner. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 as we explore the concept of smaller houses more close together. 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org by email. So in terms of density, the houses smaller can be somewhat closer together. What are we talking about for distance between houses?
Yeah, the distance between your neighbor, you know, the neighboring lot is going to be exactly the same as it is in the underlying zone. So you're not going to be packing up closer to the existing single-family house on your left or your right. But within the cottage development itself, within that lot where you have the cottages, you can tighten them up, you know, 6-foot setbacks. And then you have to have 20% open area, common open space. You know, the parking has to be consolidated, you know, so you don't have a lot of individual driveways, individual garages. Mm-hmm. So all of that helps tighten the development up.
Have you heard anything in Planning Commission hearings from people who are concerned that they might have a lot more neighbors if the ordinance goes through?
Not really. It'll be interesting to see what comments the council gets. You know, mostly at the hearings we've had people supporting the idea and thinking that if it's designed right, it could be a really good addition to the city's to the tools that the city has to allow housing stock.
And I think the point that Roger made in terms of looking at the floor area ratio and how the bulk and scale of the individual cottages and the effort that's been taken to ensure that they're small enough that they are compatible with existing single-family neighborhoods in large part addresses concerns that we typically hear at planning hearings. If this ordinance gets approved, any of these proposals would still have to go through a planning approval process before the Planning Commission, and that would give the immediate proximity neighbors the opportunity to comment on issues.
The ordinance just gives the means for this to happen, and then each individual action would still have to go the exact same process that it goes through now.
Correct.
Yeah, well, it actually has to go through site design review, which, you know, means you get the orientation right and make it look nice.
Make sure there's enough open space and green area.
So even if everybody loves the ordinance and it passes and is in place, I guess, by second reading, it would be the end of the year?
Potentially, yeah.
All right. So, but what's the soonest that potentially somebody could bring something up under it?
That would be January then.
Really?
So that's 30 days thereafter after the final approval.
Are there – now, I know you guys – we're not talking at the city council level here, but are there efforts you're aware of simultaneously to create more affordable housing in terms of rentals in the city?
Yeah, one thing that we're doing in the what we call the Transit Triangle, which is those the areas bordering Siskiyou, Ashland, and Tolman. We're looking at a rezone there that that would help increase or help provide opportunities for people to develop more more rental housing. And these are not single family zones. These are, you know, the multifamily zones and the commercial zones we were talking about. But, you know, the way we zone those now is we limit the density to development units per acre. And if you allow a little more height and don't limit it to development units per acre, but limit it by FAR, which we were talking about, just limit the bulk and let people do more smaller units. I think that you, the way we do it now, you tend to get larger units, which are more expensive. And there are a lot of smaller households in Ashland now. So we think that that will, that will encourage development of those kinds of developments. And, you know, that's one thing you were talking about before is the need for these smaller type units in Ashland. You know, 20 years, 30 years ago, the average household size in Ashland was over 3. Mm-hmm. And now it's under 2.
Wow.
So, and it tends to be, the way our population has gone, and this is true nationwide, not just in Ashland, is that there's a big boom and a big swell in the population of 20-somethings and a big swell in, me, 60-somethings. and there aren't as many 40-somethings, 30-somethings, 50-somethings. And they tend to be smaller households.
And one advantage of targeting the creation of new smaller units is that those empty nesters now have an option to leave their three-bedroom, two-bath house and move into either an apartment, if that's what they're in the market for, or a cottage housing unit, and as such free up that larger home for families with children, as opposed to overcrowding, which you have now where you may have three college student households all sharing one three-bedroom unit, which would probably much more prefer individual units for themselves.
Yeah, and we'd love to keep those people in Ashland.
All right, so the hearing and the first reading for the ordinance before the City Council on November 7th, what time in the evening?
Meeting begins at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock at the Ashland City Council Chambers. All right, that is the Cottage Housing Ordinance up for consideration now. Brandon Goldman, City Planner for City of Ashland. Roger Pierce, the Chair of the Ashland Planning Commission. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for asking us.